morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you. Hope everybody had a good holiday, and what a marvelous opportunity we have to come together this first day of the week and worship God, and always a wonderful way to start the new week. Good to see everybody, especially those who, as we've been mentioning, who have not been able to be with us for some time but are now with us, and we're just delighted and very thankful to God for that. I'd like to begin this morning and read a few verses from Paul's Philippian letter. In the very first chapter of Philippians, Paul talks about how the Philippian brethren had been sharing or fellowshipping with him in the preaching of the gospel from the very beginning when he was there. But then over in chapter 4, at the end of the letter, he thanks them for their recent gift that they had sent to Paul as he was a prisoner, probably in Rome. And he says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 14, "Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. And you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." Why did Paul write Philippians? Well, there's a lot of reasons you could give for that. But he begins and he ends the Philippian letter thanking the Philippians for having sent him this gift. And really, some have suggested that Philippians can be described as Paul's thank you note. And I think there's some truth to that. It's, in essence, one great big thank you note. And I think that it is good for us maybe to take a few moments this morning, especially at this time of the year, and in light of the blessings and gifts that we all have from Jesus Christ of a spiritual nature, to take some time to talk about gratitude. To talk about the need for us to be grateful, for us to appreciate the things that we have received. I talked with several of the young kids this morning about Santa Claus having visited their house and told them he came to my house too. And this is that time of year where we give and receive gifts. And so I think it is important for us to appreciate the things that we have received. And sometimes people suggest that our generation here in America is such a blessed generation that we have a problem of ingratitude. Maybe that's true. And we certainly want to think about this, and we certainly want to make sure that we are people who are grateful and express our gratitude to those who are beneficent to us. Not just God, but even those human beings who do things for us that really are gifts for us, that they don't have to do. Have you ever given somebody a gift and they never told you thank you? Never wrote you a thank you note, or never face-to-face expressed to you how much they appreciate that? Have you ever kind of had that feeling, that I just kind of a letdown feeling, like, well, they just kind of took that for granted? As if it really didn't mean much to them. You know that feeling that you have? Sometimes people may say thank you to us for the gifts that we have given them, but sometimes it's, at least it gives you the impression that it's just sort of a routine kind of response. You know, oh, well, thank you. You know, but they don't really mean it. Have you ever experienced that kind of thing? And so this really is an issue that impacts us just on that level. But I also think it's an issue that impacts us even on a spiritual level. If it's a problem for us to show ingratitude toward human beings when they have been giving gifts to us, well, then what about when God has done good things for us? Are we not grateful to Him? Do we not express that And so we need to give some thought and attention to this. I want to say to you this morning that we need to be grateful people. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus here, as he's speaking here, teaching his disciples and traveling with his disciples, there is the incident that is recorded for us here of those lepers who come to him. And so they want to be healed, these 10 lepers. And so he said to them in verse 14, after he had healed them, or rather as he was going to be healing them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Verse 14 says, "And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Were none found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner?" I don't suppose there's a more powerful passage in Scripture that illustrates the problem of ingratitude than this one. Because here were 10 lepers who were cleansed and cleansed miraculously by the power of God, and only one of them turned back to give thanks to Jesus and to glorify God. And Jesus' classic question, where are the 9? Where are they? And so we need to appreciate the problem that exists if we are not people who are grateful. And more than that, we need to make sure that we are people who express our gratitude. Because sometimes we may have the tendency to just think, I appreciate what someone has done, but certainly this passage here illustrates for us the need we have to then express that so that those who have been givers of that gift, they know that we appreciate that. And here Jesus felt something of a rebuff here. And here were 9 of these 10 lepers who really were not showing the proper kind of gratitude to him and to God. And so we need to think about that. And I would also say to us that we need to appreciate that all gifts, by their very nature, in fact, by definition, are unmerited gifts. That's really what a gift is. It's something that someone gives to you that you don't deserve, that you haven't worked for. In fact, we all understand that principle. It's one that Paul just mentions in Romans chapter 4 and verse 4, where he says, "Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor," or that could be rendered as a gift, "but as what is due." And Paul's not saying something that is some profound thing. Everybody understands the difference between something that is earned and something that is given to you as a gift. When somebody has given us a gift, that means that we haven't earned it, we haven't worked for that, we haven't deserved that, we haven't merited that. That's somebody who is being nice and gracious to us, and so they give us that gift, and it's not something that we have merited. And I think sometimes we may lose sight of that. Sometimes if we're not careful, this attitude of ingratitude develops in us, and it's because we forget that we're talking about a gift, and by definition, a gift is something that we haven't merited, that we don't deserve. Now, I think here's what throws us sometimes with that. You know, when I was trying to raise my 3 kids, when Amy and I were trying to raise our 3 kids, and Christmas time came around, we had to teach our kids that they had to give their siblings a gift. And, you know, my kids just kind of naturally picked up on the idea of getting gifts at Christmas time. That they were just kind of real natural with that one. But the idea of giving gifts, especially to their siblings, that was a harder call for them. Something about that just didn't quite naturally gel. We had to kind of teach them, no, you have to do that. Well, but I don't want to give a gift to so-and-so because, well, he made me mad the other day because he did this to me, or, you know, some terrible thing like touched me, or, you know,
came on my side of the room or something horrible like that. And so I don't want to give a gift to that sibling. Not that my kids ever use words like sibling, but I think you know the point I'm trying to make. And we had to let them know real quick, no, you will be giving them a gift. Well, sometimes gifts, in a sense, are something that the giver is obligated to do. There's a sense in which that's true. Sometimes we're called upon to give a gift because, well, that's what we ought to do. There's some reason why we ought to do that. But in that case that I was just describing, the fact that it was the proper and right thing to do for my kids to give a gift to their siblings, that didn't change the fact that it was still a gift. And that their brother or their sister still didn't earn that. It was still a gift from their sibling. We need to understand this concept that all gifts are unmerited and that this idea is true even if the giver is obligated in some sense. And I really want you to think about this because I think sometimes we maybe don't appreciate the nuances of this a little bit. Yeah, there is a sense sometimes when a giver has some obligation where he ought to give that gift, but that doesn't change the fact that the recipient still doesn't deserve it. It's still not merited. In Romans chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, I think you see this principle illustrated. Here the Apostle Paul is talking to the Roman brethren about the Jerusalem collection, as it's commonly called, these Gentile churches that Paul was traveling to on his third missionary journey. He had established those congregations. He and other Jewish teachers had gone to them and taught them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so now these Gentile churches had agreed to collect funds to then send to those needy Jewish saints in Jerusalem. And Paul was helping with all of that. And so he's telling the Romans about this in Romans 15, beginning with verse 26. He says, "For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so." Now watch it. "And they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things." You see what Paul is saying here? These churches of Macedonia and Achaia, they had an obligation. In fact, they were indebted to those Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. And therefore, that's the reason why they're giving this. In fact, Paul says they ought to be making this contribution. They ought to be giving that because they're indebted to them. Wait a minute, Paul. You told those Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that that collection for the needy saints, it was voluntary on their part. Yeah, sure it was. They could volunteer, they could choose to either give that gift or not. But Paul is talking about another sense in which they really were under obligation. A sense of obligation that came from the fact that Jewish believers in Jesus had expended their time and effort and had been sent on those travels by Jewish congregations. They had been sent, and these Jewish Christians had come into Gentile quarters and taught those Gentiles the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul says these Gentiles then reap the spiritual benefit of all of that. Paul says they're indebted, therefore, then to these needy Jewish saints when they're in need physically to then do something to help them. So that's a good illustration of the fact that sometimes the giver is under a kind of obligation to go ahead and give that particular gift. Yes, there's a sense in which you might say, well, he owes it to that person to do that. That's the very point Paul's making here. But do you think that Paul means by this that when those Jewish Christians in Jerusalem receive those funds from Gentile churches, that their attitude could be, well, you know what? We deserve all this money from the Gentiles. We don't have to be grateful to them. They didn't do us any kind of favor. This isn't some kind of gift. We've earned this. Would that be a proper way for them to feel about it? Obviously not. So what we need to understand is that all gifts are unmerited by definition. Sometimes, though, there may be circumstances where the giver of the gift, there's a sense in which he or she is under obligation to do that, but the recipient still needs to understand it's still a gift. And I haven't merited it. And the fact that so-and-so is under a kind of obligation, maybe, to be benevolent and to give a gift like this, that doesn't mean that somehow it's no longer a gift to me, or that I can have an attitude of ingratitude about that, or an attitude that says, well, I deserve it. Oh, no. No, we need to understand that even when some giver of a gift is under a kind of obligation, morally or for whatever reason, the gift as a gift is still unmerited to you, the recipient. And so we need to appreciate that. And we need to appreciate that in regard especially to the concept of the things that God has done for us. Do you realize that the things that we have received from God are absolutely things that we've received by His mercy and His grace? And indeed, that's the reason why the Apostle Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 6, that this salvation that we have in Jesus Christ is a free gift from God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And yet, what we need to appreciate in passages like Hebrews chapter 6, God says that He put Himself under obligation to do it. I find that interesting. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 and following, the apostle talks here about God and His putting Himself under obligation to be this kind of benevolent God. He talks here about the promise that He made to Abraham. In verse 13 he says, "For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply you." And so what he goes on to talk about is that therefore God did two things that are immutable, unchangeable, to guarantee that indeed He would fulfill His word. First of all, He promised it. And secondly, He swore to it. He put Himself under obligation. Did God have to save us? No. But that's just the kind of God He is. That kind of loving, benevolent God, that's the kind of being that He is. His own nature is something that obligates Him, in a sense, to be benevolent like that, because that's who and what He is. And more than that, He promised it and then swore to it and put Himself under a formal obligation to give us all these spiritual blessings, this whole Abrahamic promise. So in that sense, God is under obligation to forgive us because He obligated Himself to do it. He promised it. But how dare we treat it lightly as if it's not a gift? As if somehow we deserve it? As if somehow we merit that? Is that, though, sometimes what we tend to do? When God gives us the forgiveness of our sins, and as John says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. Do we sometimes just expect God to forgive us and have an attitude of expectation, an attitude of ingratitude, as if somehow we're just so inherently special that we just deserve it? We deserve the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance, the thousandth chance? Is that the attitude that maybe subtly creeps into our minds? We dare not let that happen. You know, that leads me to talk about this problem. Gifts that are received regularly are still gifts. I think this is the other problem that facilitates our ingratitude if we're not careful. Sometimes the gifts that we receive are so often, so frequent, so regular, so routine, that we just begin to expect them. We begin to take them for granted. And maybe subtly we begin to have this concept as if somehow we're owed those because we've received those gifts so often. You know, parents need to teach their kids about this, especially in gift giving and gift receiving occasions like the holidays and birthdays and that kind of thing. Because if you're not careful, and you've probably seen this in little children, you know, when birthday time comes around, well, what's that mean? That's the time I get gifts. And so it's my birthday. So there's an attitude of, well, I ought to get those. Why? Well, because every birthday, that's what I get. And if we're not careful, we can develop in our children the mindset that because this is what regularly you receive, somehow you're just owed this. Or since every Christmas time you get these gifts, if we're not careful, there's an attitude of, well, we're just kind of owed that. What causes it? Well, it's because those gifts are received so regularly and so routinely that we lose sight of the fact those are undeserved, unmerited gifts. You know, going back to Luke chapter 17, that story of the 10 lepers that Jesus cleansed, and only one of the 10 came back to give thanks and glorify God. And the text makes a big point about who that one individual was. The one who did show gratitude. He was a Samaritan. Have you ever thought about the significance of that? I mean, you got 10 of these people who are lepers. And only one of them, a Samaritan, expresses gratitude. Why do you think the Samaritan would have been prone to be grateful, but the Jewish lepers were not? I don't know. I mean, Jesus himself remarks about this, that this is somehow against what you might think. Because you'd think that Jews, who were God's chosen people and had the scriptures and had all these blessings from God that Samaritans didn't have, you'd think that Jews should be the ones surely who would have expressed their gratitude, not a Samaritan. But maybe that's part of the problem. The Samaritan didn't have as many gifts from God as these Jews had in their life. And so he had this one occasion where he was cleansed of leprosy. It seems to have meant a lot more to him than it did those Jews who had received a lot more gifts from God throughout their life than Samaritans did. And maybe that illustrates this problem that so often, because gifts are routinely received, we sometimes tend to forget that they really are gifts and that we don't deserve them. Instead, we come to expect them. And it's one thing to do that with other human beings and the gifts that they maybe routinely or regularly give to us. But what about when we do that with God? You know, James chapter 1 and verse 17, James says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, the Father of lights. And when you think about the marvelous gifts that God gives to us, they're pretty frequent. They're pretty regular. In fact, they're pretty routine. Every morning, we wake up and we're breathing and we're living and the world is there and we're able to go to work. We're able to do this and that. We make plans about what we're going to do. And all those things are just daily, regular, routine. We might even say redundant gifts of God. And we receive them over and over again so often that maybe we tend to take them for granted. And we can do that with a lot of these gifts from God. We said a moment ago about the whole idea of forgiveness and asking God for forgiveness. And that becomes maybe such a routine thing that we don't appreciate the gravity of that. and the gravity of that great gift that God is giving to us, do we not really appreciate that? Do we just kind of take that for granted?
I think sometimes that's our problem, and that's what you see with people who are not willing to do whatever is necessary to make sure that they're right with God with no question. I think sometimes it's because they really don't appreciate what that gift of forgiveness really means and what God had to go through with His Son to provide us that gift of forgiveness. God offers it so much, it's so routine, it's so regular, maybe we tend to take that for granted. But we need to make sure that we don't allow that to happen to us. Because as James said, every good and perfect gift really does come down from the Father of lights. He's the one ultimately responsible for all the good things that we have in life. And we don't deserve them. And He didn't have to give them to us. And we need to be grateful for all of those gifts that we receive. And we need to show God that gratitude for all of those gifts that He has given to us that we receive. And I would urge us, at especially this time of year, where we think in terms of giving and receiving gifts, make a special effort in your own life, in the life of your children, to make sure you have an attitude of gratitude in your heart, in their hearts, and emphasize this concept. And I would urge us to think about the gifts that God gives to us every day, and certainly those blessings we have in Jesus Christ, and really appreciate those things and recognize we don't deserve any of them. We don't merit any of them. They're abundant and they're ours because God has been so giving to us. Let's show our gratitude to Him by the way that we live, by the way that we live for Him, by the way that we live and treat other people. Let's show our gratitude to God every day of our lives. Thank you so much for listening to me this morning. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who needs to respond in some way to the gospel of Jesus. Can we assist you in doing that? Is there someone who needs to be baptized into Jesus this morning? It would be great if we could assist you in that. Or maybe your life has been remiss in some way. Can we assist you? Hope that you'll think about the things that we've said this morning and whatever we can do to be of assistance to you. Let that be known, won't you, while together we stand and sing.